to be going to the book of Acts. But we'll actually go to Mark 16 first, and then Acts. So if you'll go to Mark 16. As you know, we've been looking at a series on healing. Today's teaching is part 4, and it's healing records in the book of Acts. Just to go over briefly what we looked at in the last little while, we started off by looking at healing in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and how it is a part of all that Jesus Christ accomplished, along with salvation, getting rid of the separation between God and man, peace, and so many other things. But healing is baked in or is part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, so therefore it is a done deal. It's already accomplished. We saw that faith in God, it must always be involved, and that faith or that believing was not necessary to heal oneself of sickness, but faith in God. Sometimes the person who was being healed wasn't even there. So faith in God. Then we saw cases of revelation where, in every situation we've seen or we get are involved in, it's always best to stay in touch with God and to be receptive of what's going to be happening. So we've seen that. But how was it accomplished? Many times, words of command spoken to the sickness, the disease, the spirit, or the body, accompanied by many times by touch, not always, the laying on of hands. And prayer for healing, we've never seen mentioned in any of those records. Prayer before a couple of times, we saw that, and we'll see a couple more of those today. But the actual, when healing took place, there was no prayer mentioned there. Some of these things we're looking at, I think that it should become obvious to everybody that God is very much in favor of healing and deliverance. When Jesus Christ was here, it was his nature. That's what he did. And there are a lot of ways. Sometimes people touched him. Sometimes he ministered to them. Sometimes he healed the multitudes. Sometimes he didn't even know the person was coming to him to touch him, and they were healed. And so you see, it's not so much the formula. It's the understanding that God's nature is to heal and is built into the work of Jesus Christ. So that's very, very important to understand. The questions we've been asking, how was the healing done? Who had faith or believing in the situation? Because we know that must always be involved. What did they have faith in? Was prayer involved? Who got healed? Were there cases when healing did not work? And revelation as well. We looked at all those topics and we'll ask the same questions now to see, has there been a change now from the Gospels to the book of Acts after Jesus Christ had accomplished everything? And why are we doing this? What's the overall end result of all this? Again, to remind you, recognizing that living within us is who? Christ. Living within you is Christ, right? You have the mind of Christ. We've been conformed to the image of his Son because he was the firstborn among many brethren. We are the second, third, fourth, fifth, nth born, if you will. He's not the only begotten anymore, right? Because of his work. And so if he could do what he did when he walked here, and now we have him living within us, as the exalted Lord, what is possible and what kind of walk should believers have in that exaltation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark 16, to start off again, please, just to remember what he did, what he said, what he commanded. Those that are with him, to remind us of that, and then we'll go into the book of Acts. Mark 16, verse 14. We'll start there. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So starts off at a confrontational situation here. He said, listen, you guys should, you can almost see him. What's wrong with you guys? You don't believe? This is not just like, oh, hi, I'm Jesus. No. He said, look. What you guys did not believe, what's wrong with you? And he said unto them, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Two very opposite things happen here. You got salvation and damnation. You pick. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? Believe the word that they were going to speak. Yeah, because he told them to go and preach, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They believe what you taught, what you teach, what you preach. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So we know this is a command to the church. This is what he's referring to. He's going to be gone shortly. Now, when were they going to be able to speak in new tongues? After Pentecost, right? So he's telling them what they're going to be doing. This is a command to the church. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up, or if they take up any serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know, that's God's immunity on the believer's life. Right? Nothing can hurt you when you're walking with God, or should hurt you. And they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall do this. It wasn't, you know, possibility, could happen. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, and we've seen that. That's what he did. Now we're going to see, did they follow his instructions, and was there a change from what he was doing to what they were doing? So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, verse 19, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's a big amen. Acts chapter 3. Now, the first record of healing in the after the day of Pentecost, so, you know, quite significantly, as we understand, the first time something happens in the Bible is significant. So let's see what we can learn from this particular record. You know it very well. Verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So what was he expecting from them? Well, we don't have to guess. The next verse tells us. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. So what was he expecting? Money. Peter said, I don't have money. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then in the next verse, it says, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the first deliverance we see after the day of Pentecost, how was it done? By a command. Do we see him praying here? Is there any prayer? Who initiated this particular situation? Peter, right? I mean, the man is asking, I don't have money, but what I have, I'm going to give you. So Peter initiated. So who had faith in this situation? Peter, right? Peter and John, those two guys. Peter is the one who initiated the actual contact here. Now, and again, we saw, I want to take you back to John chapter 14 to see the very different change that happened here and that Jesus Christ told them was going to happen. Because in verse 6, we just saw, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So John 14, keep your fingers here. We're going to see one change. There's only two changes that I was able to note. This is the first one. In John 14, Jesus Christ had told them that this was going to happen. And I will apologize to you. I taught John 14 a little while ago, teaching I did on who do we pray to. And I had shown this verse in reference to prayer. And after looking at it in more further detail, it's not about prayer at all. And we'll see that here. In Romans, John 14, start with verse 10. Believest thou that not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay, Jesus Christ said, God does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So the context here is what? Works. It's not prayer. Okay, so let's keep reading. Verse 14, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, pretty clear, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, verse 13, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, That will I do. And I had mentioned that this is referring to prayer, but it's not referring to prayer. In the context, what is it referring to?
Works.
Works. And he told them, the works that I do, shall ye do also, and greater works. And if you ask anything in my name, and we just saw Acts chapter 3, verse 6, what did he ask? How did he ask? In the name of Jesus Christ, you get up. Right. So he told them that if you ask anything in my name, that will I do. There's a second change. Those are the only two differences. Because you know that by time from this period until we read Acts, what has happened to Jesus Christ? Resurrection. Raised from the dead. Exalted to God's right hand. All power in heaven and on earth given to him. So here he could say, I do it. You see that? See the difference? We're going to see that again and again. But in the end, I mean, you know, in the end, when we look at it, the word of God, where does the power ultimately come from? God. And we're going to see that as well. So there, he told him that was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. If you ask anything in my name, that I will do it. See that? Let's go back to Acts 3. So that's the only change. Obviously, Jesus Christ didn't heal in his name. Right? Not the way that they were going to do it in his name, because he was just there in person, so he could do it. But here, verse 6 again. Peter said, servant, go have none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you'll remember that when he was here, Jesus Christ was here, the price had not yet been paid. According to Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. But now that the price was paid, by his stripes we were healed. Right? It was a done deal. The account had been settled, paid. Paid in full. Now healing, that particular scripture was fulfilled, and healing is available to all by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And here you see Peter taking full advantage of it. Verse 8. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And I was, you know, we're talking about this morning. Why marvel ye at this? It's one of those questions I always find a bit humorous. Like when Jesus Christ was going into the air and the angel said, why you guys look up into heaven? And we're like, well, he just went up into heaven. I mean, we're not... And here it's like this man hadn't walked from birth. And they're like, why are you marveling at this? It's a kind of an interesting way to ask the question. I mean, it's kind of natural for people to marvel at things like that. But his point is that this is what is expected to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. Verse, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to work? There's some good understanding there. Not by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. If you think you're going to get delivered and healed because you do things for God, because you're so holy, maybe this verse will help us to remember that. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with you or me. It's got everything to do with Jesus Christ and what he did. And we'll see that, right? Not by our own power. We certainly, you know, God needs people to be there. We'll see that too. But it's not by our own power. By the power that is, we're going to see exactly. He's going to explain it very, very clearly, but not by our own holiness. Because you can get onto this, you know, thinking that, well, you know, if I just do a lot of good things, if I read my Bible a lot, take a lot of classes, you know, whatever it is, witness people 30 times a week, then God will owe me healing, right? And that is not correct. It's got nothing to do with, you see, we have to disassociate ourselves from what Jesus Christ has done in the sense that he did it for us. He bore, and that's why we read Isaiah 53 in detail. If he bore our sins and sicknesses, then do we have to bear them? No. If anybody who was bearing them, then that is not God's intention. Right? Not God's intention. So we have to remember that. Anyway, so not by our own power or holiness. Great to remember. Takes pressure off of us. The God of Abraham, verse 13, and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. There it is, Resurrection Sunday. Raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, here it is, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Not by our own power or holiness, but faith in what? In his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this general health. Now, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You see, if God heals, if healing comes from God, then we ought never be satisfied until we are completely delivered. Absolutely and completely delivered. Right? Here, perfect soundness. Perfect soundness. And this man had never walked. And we read later, he's 40 years old, right? It's a long time not to walk. But he receives perfect soundness right away. No physiotherapy, nothing. Perfect soundness. And let's go to Acts chapter 4. Verse 5, we're going to see, because Peter gets called on the carpet later to explain what happened. And it came to pass on the morrow, verse 5, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now it's pretty clear, you know, when Jesus Christ said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, I will do it. That's what he said. And here they are, and we see it mentioned three times in this first healing, that they did it in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you have the right to use that name? Who lives within you? Christ. So, you know, if Jesus Christ could be at a certain place at a certain time when he was here, how about now? You know, what should the expectancy be of what's possible now because of Jesus Christ being exalted and living within us. Right. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved or made whole. Jesus Christ is the only name. Now, just to ask some of those questions, you know, what did they have faith in? Was the man? What did the man have faith in? Peter and John. What did they have faith in? God, in the name of Jesus Christ, what had been done. See, not specifically to, you know, figure out some way with their psychological thinking on how to make his ankle bones work and all that stuff, right? But faith in God, faith in all that God had done in the name of Jesus Christ, and we see that has to always be involved. Was there any prayer that's noted here? No. And here, Peter is the one who spoke to the man. No prayer. But he knew that what is present here is exactly what Jesus Christ had told them. You ask anything in my name and I will do it. So Peter walked with the authority that Jesus Christ has given to all of us now by his resurrection, ascension, seating, and all the other things, the authority that had been given. Remember Jesus Christ was there, all the healing we read most of the healings he did. What was the one thing that was common in all those, what they said? They go, this is amazing. How can this man have such what? Authority. Who has given him this authority? And here, that has been now passed on to us by the work of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter, and you can read Acts, we're going to read forward the rest of it, but you can read there by yourself to the end of the chapter. But it says that they prayed later, and they said they prayed that God, by his hand, would many miracles and signs would be done. You know, one verse I did want to read is when he said to them that this was a notable miracle that had happened, a notable miracle, right? This is because the man had never walked. Well, that word miracle in Acts is the word semion, which is the word sign. Right. In Acts, Mark 16, what did he say? These signs shall follow them. Signs. Speaking in tongues is a sign. Casting out devils is a sign. Healing is a sign. When you don't get hurt back by some deadly thing, that's a sign. These are signs. And here, this is notable, and the word miracle is the same word sign. Right? This was notable because this was something that showed them that what Jesus Christ had happened to him by the resurrection was true. Right? And the same for us. When miracle, when signs and wonders take place, or healing takes place, what is it? It's a sign, right? And it only really is a sign, so to speak, when it happens pretty immediately, you know? And most of the records here, actually all of them really, pretty fast, right? So we know what's available. That's a good thing. Acts chapter 5. Let's go there, please. Okay. So far, you know, healed by command, used the authority that was granted them. Prayer was not involved. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders, same word there, wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So what was their faith in? Peter's shadow. Right, these people, you see, walking with authority, faith has got to be present. Not faith to get themselves healed, because if they had that, they would have just done it without Peter. Right, but yet they had to get there, and that's what they, because they knew that he believed in God. He had faith in God. Right, so eventually, all goes back to God. Verse 16, there came also a multitude. Again, multitude. This sounds exactly like the things Jesus Christ was doing when he was here, doesn't it? There came out a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. You think God's desire is to heal people, to get them delivered? Healed everyone. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? How many times do we read? Heal them all. Even in Jerusalem, Nazareth. Even those who came to him in Nazareth, the ones that came to him were all healed. The ones who didn't come to him were full of unbelief, never got anything. You see here all this. This is exactly what Jesus Christ had said they should do. Are they doing it? Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Okay, Acts chapter 8. Okay, this one. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay, remember this. It says, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Yeah, Philip was there. He was doing them. Was he using his own power? Was he using his own holiness? No. We just learned that from Acts. It's not by our own power or by our own holiness. Right? But you see, he had to be present. He had to be there. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city, doing exactly what Jesus had commanded them to do. Right. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and this is when Jesus Christ appeared to Ananias and told him to go to Paul. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in this case here, Jesus Christ sent Ananias to go see Paul. And immediately, verse 18, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now keep your verse hand here. Let's jump to the parallel record in Acts 22, just to see a little more information on how this particular healing took place. Acts 22 tells us more information. Acts 22 at verse 11, Paul relating this, his experience of when Ananias came to him. Verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Right? And the same hour I looked upon him. So go back to Acts chapter 9. So how was it done? By command. He commanded him to be whole. Receive your sight. See that? Exactly. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? Isn't that what Jesus, he just told it to happen. Because his words were spirit and they were life. And now living within us is Christ. Okay, Acts 9, verse 32. Okay, where are we here? And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Does this sound very much like the things Jesus Christ did? Isn't that almost exactly what he did? Right? And what did he say? And Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Why could he say that? Because Jesus Christ said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. He had been granted all authority in heaven and on earth. Had been given to Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? Does it fit exactly what Jesus Christ said? But eventually, where does the power all come from? God. We know that. We understand that. And verse 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him. By the way, was there any prayer here? No prayer. See, and the reason I keep mentioning that, I don't want to get, you'd think, oh, prayer is a bad, it's not a bad. You can pray to God about anything. And we saw some healings where people prayed prior to that, whatever they wanted to talk to God about. And we, I think the Bible is highly in favor of prayer. We know that. We understand that. So I just mentioned that because, I keep mentioning that because we should understand that it's been accomplished. See, you pray for things that aren't here yet, but it has already been accomplished. That's why we can expect it to take place. Because Jesus Christ did it 2,000 years ago. He doesn't have to do any more to bear our sins and sicknesses. We don't ever make that distinction with salvation, do we? Oh God, please make salvation available to us right now. We'd never do that. So if salvation and sickness and disease are baked into what Jesus Christ accomplished, that's why we're not seeing prayer in these records, because it's done deal. It's them saying, okay, it's yours, take it, because God made it available to all mankind. Okay. Acts 9, where are we? Acts 9, 32? Did I say 17? 32. Oh, yeah, you're right. We already read that. Okay. Thank you. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain man, disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as for much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Sounds like the same thing that happened in the Gospels to Jesus Christ, isn't it? Would you please come? My daughter lies at home. You know, she so forth is dead. They come to him. They came to Peter. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And here he's praying. And then after he finished praying, it says, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. You see, he prayed, yeah. He prayed, but did he pray for the healing? I don't, it doesn't even tell us what he prayed for. But we know he prayed, but when after he finished praying, he turned to the body and commanded her to arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Right. So another wonderful, wonderful healing. Again, by command, he commanded her to rise, and that's exactly what she... And who did they have faith in, by the way, in this whole record? Peter, right? We need Peter here. Got to get Peter here, right? So do you think that, you know, from all the records we've read, do you think it's possible? I mean, biblically speaking, do you think it's possible for somebody to have faith on behalf of somebody else, according to the records? You know, if you really think about that logically, that's a wonderful thing that God has designed that way. Because if you couldn't do that, then why would I ever be able to pray for you? Well, what impact would my prayers ever have for you if my faith couldn't help you? Right. You see, God has designed the body to work wonderfully. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a real blessing to recognize that, because, you know, sometimes we're not where we need to be in life. So I might need your help. You might need my help. Remember Paul saying, you know, when you hurt, I hurt. When you, like, see, it's really a wonderful thing. So here is, they had faith in Peter. They brought him over. If they had faith themselves to do it, they could have done it, but they didn't. They asked Peter to come. Could they have done it?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But they needed help. That's okay. Nothing wrong with needing help. See, somebody's got to have faith. Somebody has got to believe, you know. That's critical. Okay, where are we now? We're Acts number, getting there now. Acts 10. This is not a record on healing, but one that we ought to read on the way through Acts as we go here, because it teaches us something wonderful about healing. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, this is him at the household of Cornelius near the end, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know the record, but this last part. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and again, it's began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And here it is, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So much learning in that verse. Yeah. So would you call it a good thing to heal people? That's what God calls it. Doing good and healing a few here and all that were oppressed of the devil. And what does the Bible call sickness? Oppression by the devil. Is that what it calls it? Oppression by the devil. You know, sometimes believers don't hate sickness and disease enough in their lives. They don't hate it enough. It's of the devil. The devil doesn't do anything good for anybody. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his calling card. Right. So, you know, if you really think about it, when it comes to healing, you know, if we're made whole by the work of Jesus Christ, by salvation, by confessing him as Lord, that we receive salvation and full health, then any time that we get sick, the devil is the one who steals it from you. You know, and by whatever means, and he's got lots of means, but in the end, you know, sometimes we don't hate sickness. No, sometimes people might say, oh, it's okay, just a little cold. Well, sometimes people use expression, I'm starting a cold. Well, you're going to definitely go through it and finish it, because you just confess you're starting it. See, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but instead of saying something like, you have no authority over me, go to hell where you belong. It doesn't matter what it is. But if it's oppression of the devil, then that's what it is, right? And we ought to treat it like that. Oppression of the devil. We don't, you know, how about, oh, it usually goes away in a few days. You just counted yourself in for a few days of sickness. Congratulations, you just signed the devil's calling card and gave him the receipt. Right? I mean, sometimes this has become such a part of life that we don't recognize it for what it is. And here, this is a great verse, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Devil has no right, no authority to oppress you in any way because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Yes? Is that true or not? Yeah, okay. We should treat sickness that way. We don't play games with the devil. He's going to take what he can get. We need to be spiritually fed up. So sickness and disease has no dominion over you. Don't let it. Right. That's not to say if something ever comes upon us, we get all condemned and all this other nonsense. We know that's not godly either. But let's not side with the adversary on anything. Acts 14. A few more verses. Now we're about 15 or 20 years after Pentecost. Okay? In this part of Acts, we're about 15. So 20, all those things that Jesus Christ did are more than 20 years ago. Pentecost is 15, 20 years ago. So let's see, have things changed? Okay, Acts 14. I think you know the answer. Verse 8. Acts 14:8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his fate, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. The word healed is saved, but no matter, that he had faith to be healed. So he heard Paul preach, and Paul saw him. He said, this guy, you know, he's believing what I'm saying. So what did that man have faith in? Paul said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Faith in Paul, not in healing himself. He didn't have faith to heal himself, did he? Because he could have just done it if he didn't. But he had faith in Paul. Paul commanded. What did Paul do? He commanded it. Now notice here, Paul didn't even use the name of Jesus Christ in this record, did he? It's not there. You see, it's not some kind of incantation. It's not some kind of incantation that has been given to us to say, okay, every time you say in the name of Jesus, things. No, it's not that. See, you don't have to use the name of Jesus Christ to have faith in it. And you can use it and have no faith in it. Right? It is the authority. That's why the authority is what we have to understand. The authority is you walking with Christ in you. Living with him in me is what? Christ. Living within you is what? Christ. The access to the mind of Christ. So when you walk with that authority, that's why, you know, we say sometimes they touched him, Jesus Christ. Sometimes he touched them. Sometimes the person wasn't even there. The thing to recognize that God, the authority, is always there. And sometimes the distance, healing was at a distance, yeah? The person was at a distance. And when they touched Jesus Christ, he didn't even know who it was. And they got healed. You see, God's intention is for people to get healed, get to get delivered, to get blessed. The adversaries is to steal, kill, and destroy, and keep them hurt. And it's not just so much the words. Because sometimes it rise up and walk, sometimes it get up, sometimes it didn't say anything. Sometimes it's, as you've just had faith in me, it's done. You see that? It's not the words, it's the faith. Faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished. That has got to be present. And here, Paul just, yeah. Remember, what did the spiritual world say to him? Those guys, sons of Sceva? Was Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who the heck are you? You see? They understand and recognize authority. When Jesus Christ walked into places, remember that? They said, what have you come to, you know, to do before our time? He hadn't even said anything. You see, they recognize your authority. So when you do this, you know, when we talk about ministering, healing to people, when you minister with authority in Christ, not just words. Now if I use the words right in the right order or say the same, the heck with that. They understand, you know, devil spirits and all these. They understand authority. The sons of Sceva said, I jury by Paul, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. I'm going to use those same words that Paul didn't work, did it? Right? It's the authority, and that's why it's very. It's not some kind of incantation or just words that are spoken. Okay. Where are we? Acts 14. Just read that. So this is, again, so 2015, 20 years after Pentecost. Looks like things are still going. Acts 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. You know, in that verse, when you just read that, when you hear, when it says that they stoned him and left him, knowing, supposing that he had been dead, do you think that they saw a few rocks hit him pretty hard? Yes. Yeah. You don't just suppose, oh yeah, I'm not going to check. He got hit pretty hard. Right. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and they're preaching. Next day they're preaching. You know, you see, it's just, this is just the way life is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a big, so such a big thing. It should surprise us when ministering healing doesn't work. That's why Peter could say, why are you marveling at this? You know, it should be, we should marvel. Well, how come that didn't take place? Right. Here they are. They stood around and he's up again and he's preaching the next day. Verse Acts 20. I don't think anybody who was left for dead could preach the next day without having been healed. Acts chapter 20. Okay, well now we're moving close to 30 years after Pentecost. Acts 20, well, this is still about 20-some years. We'll get there. Acts 20, verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain man, young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. The record, what did Paul do? Embraced him, touch. That's all it tells us, right? It doesn't say anything else. You see, the nature of God is to heal. And living within us is Christ, the Son of God, whose nature was to heal. So Paul embraced him. His life is in him. After a while they spoke, they brought him alive. Right. That's the way life is supposed to work. And we're going to close in Acts 28. All right. No other details, so we dare not come up with some. Acts 28. Now we're 30 plus years after Pentecost. I just make that point because sometimes, you know, this book wasn't written about just a small period of time. But you see, they're doing the same thing that Jesus Christ was doing. Difference, only difference, that they did it in his name. And then he said, I will do it. I will back it up because God has given him all power in heaven and earth. Lord of all. That's where God has put the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess where else he's put us? Put him in us. Right. You see, so it's not your power or your own holiness. And you get your mind off of yourself. You know, better, you know, in those kind of situations, when it comes to ministering healing, you know, other than thinking of God first and all that he's accomplished, maybe thinking about the person you're about to deliver would help. And a lot of times, Jesus Christ, you see his healings in Gospels. We didn't point this out in detail, but they were out of what? Compassion, right? He was moved with compassion, you know. So if we're going to take the, if that helps to take the onus off of you or ourselves to think about the person that we're, you know, had the blessing and benefit or the opportunity to minister to, sure. But recognize, get yourself out of it in the sense that it's not your power, it's not your holiness, it's not a reward God is giving you. He does not have to do anything else. It's not a reward. Right? It's part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Cannot forget that. Okay, Acts 28, verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Sounds like Calgary. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Interesting. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. You know, does this sound like something from Mark 16? If they shall not hurt you. Isn't that what the Word of God had told us? Isn't that what Jesus Christ had told them? Here's the situation. Right? Like, you know, he didn't purposely play with the snake. Watch this, the snake won't hurt me. Which is taught, right? Some denominations teach that nonsense. And here it was just happened to happen, and he's there, and it didn't hurt him. See? And what is that supposed to be? A sign. What do they say? Oh my gosh, he's a god. You see the sign? It's a sign. In the same quarters, verse 7, were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. There he prayed beforehand, but not, and then laid his hands on him and healed him. You see, prayer before, but then he just laid his hands on him. Just, isn't that what Jesus Christ did? Remember Lazarus? He goes, "God, I know you hear me always. I'm just talking to you, just so they know that you always hear me." And here Paul goes right in, lays hands on, healed him. So when this was done, do you think maybe that snake incident helped this a little bit as a sign? You think maybe? Yeah, I think so. And so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. All were healed. All those who came to him were healed. See, doing the same thing that Jesus Christ had said that they should do, that they would do. We skipped one record where Paul cast out a devil spirit out of a woman. Remember that record? But again, you know, just the same thing Jesus Christ did, right? So would you say that it's God's will to heal, right? Consistently, regularly? Do you think that it's something that you have to earn? No. Who earned it for you? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ already earned it for you. He bore it for you. Like that goat running into the woods, you know, the sickness and disease off into the woods, that scapegoat, gone into the woods, gone forever, right? And, you know, and it's not, you know, you might say, well, you know, why does it come upon me? Why do I get sick? Why do people get sick? Well, you know, the full redemption is still coming, right? The adversary, steal, kill, and destroy. He'll try to take away your health. He'll try to convince you that it's okay to have it because everybody gets sick. It's flu season after all. A little bit of flu, it's okay. No, nothing is okay. But that's what people say. They always say, well, you know, this time of year, stop there, right? This time of year is as good as yesterday when the resurrection was as effective as it is today. This time of year is the same as yesterday. You see, but, you know, but that confession that we have to get to, it's a moment-by-moment thing, you know? I hate that expression. I'm starting a cold. I don't want to pull a gun. Never mind. You know, healing is built into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, right? Salvation and healing. Faith is absolutely necessary. Deliverance take place. The more of those people involved in that situation that have believing, the better. Yeah? It would be better. You know, realistically, if the Word of God is true, which is it is, thank you. If the Word of God is true, then no one should have to minister to anybody, right? Because healing, you should be able to accept it because it's in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, always available to all believers. And if we need help, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus Christ did it, and he showed people how to do it, and they did it. So we're a body, right? So that's okay. Many times the one ministering was the one who had faith, and those who were sick had faith in the person ministering. And what is our faith to be? In God. Those who had faith in Jesus Christ had faith in God because Jesus Christ represented God. He said, "He doeth the works. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." How was the healing accomplished? By command in the name of Jesus Christ, sometimes by touch, not always. Right. A lot of different ways, which goes to show you healing is God's desire. Prayer involved in the actual healing? No, we saw healing prayer sometime. Lazarus, Dorcas, father of Publius, we saw prayer beforehand, but not when the actual healing was accomplished. And if God wanted something specific to be done, he provided the information as long as they were receptive. Right? Jesus Christ did different things with people sometimes. But they started healing, and then if necessary information was necessary, more information, then God would give it. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the change was they now called on the name of Jesus Christ because redemption was completed with faith in that name. Not just the mouthing of words, not just some repetition of words, but faith in that name of Jesus Christ with authority. And he does it because all power on heaven and earth was given unto him. But the power still comes from God. Yeah. So that's healing records in the book of Acts. And I think it's fun to look at these things and to understand that, you know, we don't have to put up with the wiles and systematized error of the adversary in this area. And we're looking specifically at healing and deliverance. That's why we've been kind of concentrating on it. But we don't have to put up with it. We don't have to side with it. I've learned to hate it and recognize that it's oppression of the devil. And Jesus Christ has eliminated all that oppression of the devil by what he did on the cross. And afterwards, and we're grateful for that. So, yeah, okay.